Oh, well, hello. Wow, it's been a while, but we're here. We're here to bring you all of the video game news and things that we've been away for. And finally got the microphone fixed. I had to reset my computer, but we're here. We're doing it. It's great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well.
I'm happy to be back.
Correct.
As am I. But we have a lot to get through. Big show this week. So, without any further ado, want to get down to it?
Let's get down to it.
Cool.
Get down to it.
First up for news, we have Diablo Reign of Terror showed up on a Blizzard website. But we don't actually know what that means.
No.
Do you guys have any ideas?
New mobile game.
Ooh.
You think it's mobile?
I don't know, actually. Probably a card game. It's three things. It's a card game, a battle royale game, or the mobile game.
Could it be a Gwent tie-in?
Yes.
Excellent.
Maybe it's the new Fortnite skins.
Oh, there you go. That is a Reign of Terror.
What do you guys think it is? What do you guys think it is?
I don't know. I was thinking another expansion, Diablo 3.
Yeah.
So could be that. I know Blizzard said that there's a couple of Diablo projects in the works. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this could be an expansion before we get, you know, full on Diablo 4 or whatever. Anyway, I guess that's my guess.
What about you, Eric?
I really have no idea. I mean, it could be an expansion, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's a game either.
You know, they were just talking the other day about Diablo 3 crossplay with the now that it's hitting the Switch. So I'm wondering, maybe it has something to do with that? Although that, I don't know, maybe like a special campaign made for co-op play?
Yeah, they're pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing comes from two t-shirts and a hat.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But what a weird way to unveil it.
Well, I'll take it.
When's BlizzardCon? Isn't that coming up pretty soon?
I think it's like next weekend, something like that.
Well, I'm sure we'll know by then. Maybe by our next podcast, we'll know.
Well, they're having a panel at BlizzCon called, it's like Diablo, What's Next? And it's supposed to mm-hmm. be the, they said it's what's coming up for the heroes of Sanctuary. So, I mean, we're definitely going to find out. Yeah. I just don't know what it is. I'm gonna say it's an expansion, so we'll see.
Ooh, that'd be pretty cool.
I'll go with mobile game. We'll go that way.
All right. Nice. And Rick has Gwent.
We'll see soon.
Cool.
Stay tuned.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey's DLC plan has been outlined by Ubisoft officially, with the season pass covering basically everything that's paid, including two major story arcs. Legacy of the First Blade, where you explore the first hero who used the Hidden Blade, which isn't in Odyssey, which I'm still upset about. Mm-hmm. And Atlantis, where you go to Atlantis.
That's awesome.
That one's pretty cool.
Yes, that is really awesome. I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Also included, things that aren't directly related to Odyssey, but are still pretty neat. Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered, including all of that game's DLC, and Assassin's Creed Liberation. So, that's a lot of content for the season pass.
You know, I'm excited to play that. I played just like a few minutes of that once, and I mean, so many people kind of beat up on that game, but it looks good. So, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's going to be neat. And I never played 3, so I'm excited for that, too.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That was pretty good.
And then there's lots of other free updates coming to this game. including free episode of Quest Lines, dubbed The Lost Tales of Greece.
Tales.
Events, which look like they're going to be like almost public style events that just pop up once in a while. An educational tool that lets you walk around ancient Greece and learn about things.
That's the secret best part.
And other, you know, free little updates like new mythological creatures, new game plus, and yeah. So this is a pretty, I think this is a pretty promising DLC plan for this game. And for a game that I was already excited about, this looks good.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else. I don't really know having much else to say for it.
Interested to hear what you guys. I want to hear what you guys think of it once you get play it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play it. It's probably going to be a little bit, but I'm definitely going to play it. I think with all of this, though, I mean, this is so much content, and the game is huge already. So I could totally see why they're not doing one in 2019.
Are you getting the season pass, Jason?
Yeah, definitely, because I want to play the Atlantis.
Yeah,
I am as well. Because I mean, there's nothing here I don't want. I want the Legacy of the First Blade. Sure. Extremely excited for Atlantis. Want to play 3 and Liberations will be neat because I never played it. Rick, you're actually playing this already. What do you think of the game so far? And does this stuff entice you? Does this look exciting? Are you excited for more?
The DLC, yes, I'm very excited for. Just for all those same points you guys spoke about. The game itself is pretty fun. I like it quite a bit. So,
excellent. Is the combat like radically different from Origins or Line of Time?
There's no shield anymore, so if you use the shield a lot, it's quite different. Mm. Otherwise, now you can parry instead of like blocking, and then you still have the dodge button, and then the two other sword swing or your swings are still the same button. So it's a little bit different, but it's not crazy different.
Okay.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I like it.
It's awesome.
You could seriously, Eric, you could play Odyssey and then play Origins and not get jacked up. Like you could.
That's
do it
true. Order.
Yeah, I know. But I figure by the time I'm finished with Origins, Odyssey should be at least a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
Maybe. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. I'll get to it.
Well, yeah, it's fun, guys.
Cool.
I dig it.
Glad to hear you're enjoying it. We also have news for Darksiders 3's DLC.
Yeah.
Which also looks good. So, I mean, I don't know. The first pack of content is called The Crucible. And it looks like it's not really story-based, but Fury gets summoned to test her skills of battle in The Crucible. There you go. And in the second one, Keepers of the Void, Fury gets put on a quest from Volgrim, and if you've ever played the Darksiders games, you know Volgrim's the demon merchant. Then you have to go down into the, I forget what they're called, the Serpent Holes. That's right.
Serpent Holes.
And fight and solve otherworldly puzzles and monsters. And you can get the Abyssal Armor for doing this. So,
ooh.
Yeah. Abyssal Armor. I kind of like that neither one of them is really important.
Yeah. And the Crucible is always fun.
Yeah, I do like that. Because it's like, yeah, you could expand it. You can add more content. You could do more if you want. But you don't have to buy this DLC.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, so.
Plus, that image is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I just got to add that. That is so cool.
Yeah, it is. I'm excited for this game.
Me too.
I've heard that they got rid of the loot.
Mm.
Which is...
They got rid of loot?
I didn't mind loot in 2, but I preferred 1 where there was no loot. So.
I like the loot.
Oh. Well,
I like the loot too. It's got a good sound.
Huh. I gotcha.
I'm sad now that there isn't one. in Darksiders.
I think I'll live.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, moving on yet again. It sounds like we're finished there. If you have a Switch and you like racing and you don't have an Xbox One, we've got some good news for you.
We do.
Super Club 2 Unlimited is an exclusive for the Switch. It's coming out this December, I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's the 4th.
Okay.
Also, I love Gear Club 2 Unlimited, and I think they missed a chance to call it that. It is Gear Club Unlimited 2, but Gear Club 2 Unlimited is a phenomenal name, and they should have gone with that. Thank you.
Well, they announced the lineup of cars that are included in this game. And it's a lot more than the first one. Tell you what, first game had, what, like six cars? Something like that?
Yeah, I think there was a little more than that, but yeah, this is a bigger list.
It's got cars from Acura to BMW, Bugatti, Ford, Jaguar, Mercedes. It's got a pretty robust list here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Gran Turismo, it's not Forza, but it's also on the Switch. So if you want to have simulation driving when you're driving in your car, this is what you got to do.
I played the first one, and it's actually a lot of fun. That's another game that people like to kind of dump on a little bit because it's essentially a glorified mobile port. But Gear Club Unlimited was a lot of fun. It's a simple racer. The graphics are really good if you're playing in handheld mode. If you play on the TV, it takes a little bit of a hit. But if you're playing in handheld mode, it's really good. There's a lot to do. Nice customization. It's a fun little map that you can move around on. It's cool stuff. So I'm actually looking forward to this.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're looking forward to it.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you guys a quick question while we're talking about racing games. Is Gran Turismo anything anymore? Is that coming back? I have no idea.
I don't think so, dude. I don't know. I haven't seen it forever. That's for sure.
Right.
That's a really good question. The last one I heard about, what number was it? 5 or 6 or something?
Oh, man.
Dude, I thought it got up to 7.
It very well could have. I don't know. I know that there were tons of microtransactions and Sony was taking a hit. I don't know where we go from there with that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't remember that. So, okay.
Interesting.
But, yeah. So that'll be cool for racing fans. Do we know what the retail price on this is, Jason?
No. I think the previous one was like $20 or something like that, so maybe longer.
Okay. I was wondering if this is going to be if this isn't built from the ground up for the console, it might be a little bit more expensive if it's not a mobile port.
That's a good point, too. Could be. Yeah.
But I have no idea. Cool. Moving on. We have the Nintendo download, which is actually kind of stacked this week, if you're into these games. Which I kind of am. So.
I like a couple of these. Lego DC Supervillains. I like the look of that. And that's actually a fun game. So,
did you pick it up?
No. I didn't get it yet. But I will get it eventually. I'm excited about this one more than any other Lego game. So, I will actually play this at some point. Starlink, I'm excited about. And also NBA Playgrounds 2, because I missed the first one, and I love NBA Jam, so I think I'm probably going to get that.
I'm excited for Starlink. Looks really cool. I can't see myself picking it up at launch.
Yeah.
Just because there's so much coming out towards the end of the year, and I have so much to play already.
Yeah.
But getting that on the Switch and having the extra Star Fox missions, which sounds like a whole extra campaign, honestly, the way they're marketing it.
You're right. It does. And the R-Wing looks awesome.
Yeah. And this screenshot that they included in the download looks really good, too.
It does.
So that's coming out this week. The World Ends With You Final Remix. Now, I know you guys aren't that into that, but this was a beloved JRPG when it launched on the DS originally. I'm not going to get this because it needs to be played with handheld, with touch controls, or motion controls on the TV.
Oh,
I'm not...
okay.
There's no way to play this handheld. Or
I didn't even realize that.
With just, you know, Pro Controller. And it's kind of a steep price point at $50 for a game that came out on the DS. But it's got a great soundtrack, apparently. It's a great RPG. And the characters show up in Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, which I just started playing. And they're annoying there, so I don't know about here. Jackbox Party Pack 5 releases this week. That is a hit with... I've never played them, but a bunch of my friends really enjoy them. We're going to have a team building day at work where we bring in a console and everybody, we play the Jackbox Party Pack games. So they're apparently fun. That comes out this week.
They are pretty fun.
What was that?
You play them?
They are pretty fun.
They're good parts.
You
right?
don't know Jack games?
Yeah.
I have for the Xbox.
You use your phone to connect everything?
Yeah, you use your phone.
Right.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Nintendo Entertainment System for the Nintendo Switch Online service is getting three new games this week: Super Dodgeball, Solomon's Key, and NES Tournament Golf, or NES Open Tournament Golf. Sorry. Also, kind of stealth released. I didn't see if we had anything on it, but I saw it on a couple messaging boards this week.
I just mentioned it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's Nintendo launched a.
It's weird. Yeah.
It's like the way I've seen it described is a souped up version, but I don't know if that's necessarily correct.
I just called it a new version because I didn't know what to call it.
Yeah, it's a version of The Legend of Zelda. You can only play it on the Nintendo Switch Online service. And they basically start you out with a bunch of high-level equipment, and they show you where all of the secret areas are at the beginning. Everything's opened up, all the map shortcuts are open and everything.
Why do they do that?
I think it's kind of neat. It's kind of a neat new way to play that game if you want to play it, but you don't want to grind for all this stuff. All
right.
I think it's fine. I don't have any issues with that. Specifically, especially because you're not paying for it. It's released on the service that you're already getting all these other things for.
Yeah.
If this with other games, like say they release a version of Mega Man 2 where all of the, now I don't think they will because that's a Capcom game, but Mega Man 2 where the power-ups you get from bosses are randomized, that would be fun.
That would be cool.
It's an interesting idea.
So, like if they do more of these kind of remixes, I think that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I really have to say about that. And I think this is a great kind of precedent for that moving forward.
Well, it's definitely an interesting move. And I think it's probably going to get more people to play this game than would. If you have new gamers who are looking at this and saying, well, I don't really like the way it looks and I got to, you know, bust my ass to get all this stuff. But everything is open right from the beginning, and you can just kind of go through, even though you still have to beat the dungeons to get to Ganon. It's cool.
The dungeons are tough, too.
Mm-hmm.
This was a tough game.
Oh, yeah. I remember how long I played this game. I'm just thinking about it now. This was not a quick beat.
No, it wasn't. It was a slow burn game, and back in the day, you just only had that game, so you'd be like, I guess I gotta keep playing this one.
Right. It's like, ooh, what am I gonna play? Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, I've already played enough Duck Hunt, so you're like, oh, man, I gotta play this.
It was Duck Hunt, Super Mario Brothers, Track and Field? Was that the third game on that triple cart? Because that's what I had.
Yeah. I didn't have Track and
Field. After playing Track and Field for 3 minutes.
Oh, yes, seriously.
That was it for that.
Oh, man. Kids back in the days.
Oh, my God. Hey, I see this meme floating around now where the second controller on Duck Hunt controlled the duck.
Yeah, that's true.
I had no idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No clue.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. So,
I found that out.
This week we also got a bunch of other little games, including Child of Light Ultimate Edition, which I played on the Wii U when it launched. It's a really nice little RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Guacamelee Super Turbo Championship Edition.
Guac.
Yeah.
Which I picked up.
Ah!
It's better than I remember it, to be fair.
It's a fun game, dude. It's a good game.
It is a really good game.
And also, I guess it was last week, but we didn't talk about it then, because we didn't record. Liam's Table Pact for Zen Pinball released.
Oh, right.
They include a new set of physics for the game, because apparently the physics are kind of floaty on the regular Zen pinball tables, and these ones feel a lot more like a real pinball tables. It's $10 for three tables. Yeah.
I think it's just because the laws of physics changed.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
Maybe you're not keeping up, Eric, but...
That's it.
I think that's it. I think that's it.
That's it.
But, cool. Yeah. Also, last week, I picked up, I finally got King of Monsters, the Neo Geo King of Monsters game.
Oh, do you like it?
Oh, yeah.
It's not an easy to control game.
No. Yeah. Still fun, though. That's a good game.
For arcade controls, and they're like, and I've never played any of the Neo Geo games on the Switch before.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So
have you played Neo Geo games?
No, never.
Oh.
So it's like, Y is A, B is C, and A is B. I'm like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. It was good. My butt kicked by a Godzilla monster on the first stage. I tried to play in the arcade mode, so I need to get back. But
give it another try.
I'm not done with it.
It is a really fun game.
I've been reading this this critical study on kaiju film that my buddy got me for my birthday. So,
nice.
Just reading a textbook in my spare time. No problem. Resident Evil 2 still looks really good, huh?
Hell yeah. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm looking forward to that more than anything coming this holiday.
Oh, yeah.
No, so am I.
Yeah. I'm just a big RE2 fan. So.
Yeah, it was a good game.
I'm a fan of the Lickers.
Yeah, I like Licker too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Brandy.
With their brains like Titan. Yeah. So.
Wait, he wasn't in this one, was he?
Who?
The Titan, wasn't he in this one?
Yeah, I think so.
Wait, are you talking about Nemesis?
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant. Nemesis.
Nemesis is, yeah. But there is a tyrant in this game. And then you have William Birkin, which is, I think, one of the most horrifying things ever in a Resident Evil game. There's really good stuff in this game. And the Lickers are freaking hideous, in all seriousness. Really good stuff, and the game just looks unbelievable. Very excited for this.
Should be good. What are you guys going to get it on?
Probably just Xbox.
Yeah.
Probably going to do PS4.
I guess to get the Chivos.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about PS4, Eric, just because, you know, I always play Resident Evil games seemingly on PlayStation, but
right.
Yeah. I get it.
But speaking of PSVR, Jason, you should look into a game called I actually forget what it's called, but it's about a little robot and it's a PSVR game.
Oh?
Yeah, it's a platformer. It's apparently really, really good.
Well, listen, I would, but I'm looking at those big bucks, the $18 from Best Buy, and I'm thinking I can't pass that up.
Well, I can't blame you.
It's rare that one can get such a profit off of a PSVR headset.
It's true.
Calling me, like, you could get lunch.
You get Borderlands 2.
Yeah, that's true. I could. That looks kind of fun. I mean, that's a game.
Yeah, yeah.
That I could play.
It's a game I could play. I like it.
Jason, you are excited for this next thing. Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
Lego DC Supervillains?
Yeah.
Sure. So the launch trailer came out, and I am very excited for this game. It's a really cool game. I checked it out at San Diego Comic-Con, and actually it was at New York Comic-Con also, but I didn't get a chance to play it. But the game is really cool. You play as DC supervillains, and you make your own, which I think is awesome, and you can play as that character in the campaign, which is a first. You can, you know, set your powers, set the way you want your character to look. I mean, it's going to be cutesy Lego, but it's cool.
Character a gorilla?
You know what? I'm not sure. You might be able to.
It's rude if not.
You might be able. I don't know if you could. You know, the thing is, I don't know if you could make like the large scale character. You might have to. You might have to just be the small guys. But you could definitely play as Darkseid at some point, because there was a trailer also that showcased Darkseid and his powers that came out not long ago. So I know he's in there. One of the coolest things about this game is basically the entire classic DC animated universe voice cast is involved. So
yeah, that's what I thought. That's
cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you have Mark
Hamill.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. Kevin Conroy
and the guy who does like
Batman. Yep, Clancy Brown.
Yep.
Michael Ironside does Darkseid.
That's right.
Mean, it's great. It is so good to hear those voices.
I watched the launch trailer. I just couldn't tell if that was really Mark Hamill. I was like, would he really do the Lego? But it's good to hear.
Yeah, yeah, like the whole cast. So I think there's only one or two. I know Superman is not Tim Daly, which is a bit of a disappointment. But I think that might be it. Even the guy who plays Flash on Justice League Unlimited plays Flash here too. I forget his name. Nice. But yeah, really cool. Really cool. So I can't wait to play this. I'm very excited to play it. Comes out on Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and the PC. Probably by the time you hear this, it'll be out. It comes out on the 16th. I'm probably not going to get it at launch because I'm doing other stuff right now, but I am very excited about it, so I'll get it eventually.
Nice. I like that the key artwork is two Flash villains.
Yeah, that is cool.
That's what I like. Okay.
They got Deathstroke up there. Cool stuff. Oh, and it's an adaptation of the Forever Evil storyline from the DC Comics. So, I mean, that's cool in and of itself.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
When you played, did you get to make your character?
Yeah.
So, like, what kind of powers can you give your guy?
Like, lots of different stuff. I mean, even if you watch the trailer, you're going to see different things that you can do. Like, you can give him, like, eye beams, electricity stuff. I mean, there's like, a lot of different stuff. You know what the one thing I wasn't sure about is if you could do super speed. That would be cool. I'm not sure if you could do it.
How are they gonna put Reverse Flash on the cover, and then you can't be a speedster?
Yeah, right.
It's true.
I mean, that's a tough mechanic, right? Like, that's not an easy mechanic to get right.
No. You know, there was a Flash game that came out on Game Boy years ago. I think it might have been Game Boy Advance. And I never played it, and I'm not sure how they did it in that game. I mean, because that's like it was like a simple, you know, side scroller. But it's got to be that everything is slow motion; otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Right. Neat. Conan Exiles. It's updated. It's getting updates still.
Yeah. You'll probably be excited about this.
I never played Conan.
Well, you like the animals, don't you?
I do like animals.
Yeah, well, you can get pets now.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And you can domesticate animals to work for you.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you can make like a farm if you wanted to. Exiles is so open-ended. You just do so many.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty big update. Actually, it's two updates.
Oh, nice.
There's a paid update and there's a free update. The free update is, yeah. The free update is way more substantial than the paid update. The free update includes the pets. It includes taming. You can do the, like I said, like farm animal type thing. There's also a huge new dungeon called Midnight Grove to play through. There's a new god.
Did you say Midnight Bro?
Grove.
Oh, I thought you said bro.
No, but I was just playing Bro Force.
There you go.
So on the Switch, which is great, by the way. There's a new god. So there's a whole new religion to go along with it. New avatar, you know, with this big flying, like, kind of chimera character. There's a lot of cool stuff in here. So that's the free one. And then the paid one is, let me see if, does it have a name? I don't know if it does.
Frontier. Yeah,
there you go. $10. It gets you more pet skins. So, you know, different pets you could have. New equipment and a new building pieces.
Set. Ooh.
Yeah. So there you go. I like the free one.
Yeah, free one sounds better.
Yeah, I can't see myself paying $10 for that. I know there's a lot of people who would, but I am not among them. But it's nice to see that Conan Exiles is getting such a lot of love. So far, you know, we're into the next year. I think it launched last year, or what, did it launch this year?
I think it launched earlier this year, at least on the Xbox, earlier this year.
Oh, right. I'm thinking PC.
Maybe PC a while ago for you.
Yeah. But it's a good game, and it's getting some nice new stuff, so.
Nice. Call of Duty 4.
Blobs.
Yeah, Blobs. This came out. There's no campaign.
No.
There are three gameplay modes. There is the regular multiplayer, there's zombies, and there's battle royale. Mm. They all have their colorful names. So
if I could just point one thing out.
You guys picking this up?
No. Call of Duty has officially lost me. Every year I say I'm not going to get it, and then it looks great, and I end up getting it. This year, that's it. I'm not a multiplayer fan, so you drop the campaign, you drop me. One thing I am going to say, though, is that the Blood of the Dead trailer is phenomenal. So if you like zombies, horror, or anything like that, just cool stuff. You should check out the Black Ops 4 Blood of the Dead trailer, which is in the news post that we're talking about. Because it is really good, and it makes me think that this just continues to be such a huge missed opportunity that they are not making standalone zombie games in this universe, because they're putting so much into this, and it just blows me away.
You know, they honestly could make a $20 buy-in zombie game.
You're right.
And just update it. Microtransactions for skins, you know, all this stuff. It could finance their Call of Duty games forever.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't need to include it in the big updates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could release like map packs for each to coincide with the big updates.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, there are ways they could be going about this.
I agree. What I would like to see, obviously they're not going to do this, but what I would like to see is I would like to see this zombies universe, because it really does look interesting, and I don't know anything about it because I don't play multiplayer, but it really does look interesting. So what I would like to see is this zombies universe given a nice big retail release with a storyline, a nice campaign to play through. You could include co-op in there. You could throw tons of multi in there, whatever. But I would love to see a standalone release for this, and it's not going to happen. So, yeah.
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Would you want the story to be campy, or would you want to try to be serious?
Well, the Blood of the Dead trailer is... See, I always thought these were campy, but the Blood of the Dead trailer is super serious. And it looks really good. So, like, I would love to play through that.
Yeah. All right. I'll check that out then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Toys R Us might come back.
It is back.
What?
Yeah, my understanding is it was. Or it is. Yep.
Well, coming. I thought
they might be strategizing, but I didn't think it was.
No, that's it.
That's official.
Rise from your grave. Toys R Us is back. It's Jeffrey's Toy Box now.
I still think that sounds creepy, though.
It does sound a little creepy. Yeah. You know, you should take a look at the image that we have running with story. Just look at Jeffrey's face and think Jeffrey's Toy Box.
Yes. It is scary. Toy Box.
So if for some reason, if you're listening to this, you don't know what happened, because we covered a lot of it. But Toys R Us went out of business earlier this year. And they closed a bunch of stores in the U.S. anyway. Other markets, there are Toys R Us stores. I think China or Japan. There's an Asian market that it's still active in. And Canada. There might be one more, too, that I'm missing. But every other market lost Toys R Us. And so they were selling off the assets. They were doing all kinds of stuff like that. So basically what happened is there was a company that was formed that gathered up a ton of those assets, and backed by investors, they are looking to relaunch Toys R Us. So it's to the point now where they are going to be doing it. They own the Toys R Us name, they own the Babies R Us name, and for some reason they are using neither one. So my guess is that Toys R Us reopens as Jeffrey's Toy Box inside malls. And then at some point, probably next year or the year after, they reopen standalone stores as Toys R Us. Because that name is just way too good not to use.
Yeah, I would make.
That's my guess. So when this is going to happen, we don't know. But they're saying before the end of the year. So I would
just in time for Christmas.
Exactamundo. So. Yeah. I would figure they're probably going to open next month at some point, which is interesting because we didn't mention this in the news piece, but FAO Schwartz opens next month, reopens.
Really?
Yeah, it opens in mid-November, I think, like the the 12th or the 16th or something like that. They're opening one flagship location in Rockefeller Center.
Okay.
In New York City. And then I believe they're going to look at opening other stores after that.
Interesting.
So the toy store is coming back. It's starting with all the toy stores that just closed. And where it goes from there, I don't know. KB Toys was supposed to be coming back as well, but that seems to have completely evaporated. I haven't heard anything about it. And they were supposed to open before the holidays also, and I don't think it's going to happen. So. Forget about that. There's also in Toy Store news, we didn't talk about this either, but we might as well mention it here. Places like Party City are opening toy departments for the holidays. There are standalone toy stores opening. I believe it is a line of pop-up shops that are going to open. And then Target, I think, greatly expanded their toy department. You know, all of this to try to capitalize on the loss of Toys R Us. So we'll see if this sticks around, or if with Toys R Us coming back, that kind of stuff, like the secondary stores and the bigger toy departments, maybe that's going to dry up again. I don't know. So we'll see what happens. We'll let you know when Toys R Us announces their official open.
I had no idea. That's interesting news.
Yeah.
I don't know how I missed that so totally.
Yeah. It's good news if you're a toy collector or if you're a kid. It is good news because it's not good not to have a retail outlet. So,
right. Cool. Black Ops. No, Jesus, not Black Ops.
Borderlands.
You know, I see BL and then Pops. And I'm like, oh, Blops.
Blops.
I thought you were going to say Pops. Like, Black Ops Pops.
Funko Black Pops. Pops.
Yeah.
Now, Rick, you are a fan of the Borderlands.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Would you get this? Would you play this?
If I had a VR thing laying around, I might.
Cool.
It'd just be fun. One more way to experience it.
Right.
I agree. I think this looks fun.
I don't know. I think it looks fine.
Yeah. Too bad you can't play co-op, though.
Yes.
They better fix that.
It has a slow-mo ability.
Yeah, because that game would be extremely disorienting.
I don't know about that.
I think it might.
Really, you think so?
I think it would.
I'm not sure about that.
I don't know.
I wonder if when you get in the car, if it still stays in first person.
Because
you remember, like, in the console, you would go to third person.
That's a good question.
Jason, you should get it and tell us how it is.
Oh, yeah, no.
I wonder how much it's going for retail, too.
That I don't know.
Like, is it a full game? Is it $60? And do you get all the DLC?
I'll bet the DLC is included, and I'll bet it is $60.
That's some horse manure.
Yeah, I almost guarantee that. December 14th, by the way, is the date.
Nice.
Badass mega fun time. They're calling it slow-mo.
That's ridiculous.
It's Banff time. Badass mega fun time. There you go.
Hellblade, the Senua's Sacrifice. Is getting a physical release on Xbox and 360 and Xbox and PS4.
Yeah, not the 360.
And Xbox 360? Nice.
A PS3, Xbox 360. there will be no Wii release.
No.
Too graphics intensive.
It's a shame.
Too intense.
Yeah. I might get this time. I skipped it last.
Oh, yeah?
And I have actually regretted it because it looks great. So
do it.
Maybe.
It does look good. I never picked it up, which is a regret.
So December 4th.
I might take a look at it.
There is no Switch version.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry. No Switch, no Wii.
It's a shame.
Wah, wah.
But you know what isn't a shame?
What?
The Commodore 64 Mini.
That's right.
Now you got this, right, Jason?
I didn't get this. I ordered it, but Amazon is dragging their feet. And I'm not sure when I'm going to get it. It's coming at some point. They said before November 13th. So at some point,
wow!
At some point, I will get it. But yeah, the Commodore is actually one of the consoles that I missed out on. My first console was an Atari. I had a 7800, and that was my first. My fiance actually had a Commodore, and actually there's a bunch of games that she still talks about. I don't know what the game list is like on this even. It comes with 64 games, some of which are named. If you look at the news post, it's like they list a couple. Like I would have thought it's weird.
I thought you just meant there's like unnamed games on the console. It's just like unnamed game one.
Oh no, that would be awesome though. California Games is in there, which pretty much everybody play.
Yeah.
And there is Summer Games. I don't know if some of the more famous C64 titles, but I'm sure they are. It also has two USB ports where you plug in an extra joystick for multiplayer gaming or a full-size keyboard. It comes with a mini keyboard and a joystick.
So that must be some typing game, right?
Yeah, I mean the Commodore 64 was like it was like a video game console slash computer.
That's
right. So like apparently you could do your own stuff on this, which is kind of neat.
No.
Yeah. It says fully functional home computer with C64 BASIC. So I I guess you could. And for the first time, this is a big feature. For the first time, C64 Mini allows you to. Save. So you can actually save your.
Woohoo!
Yes. So there you go. And it's going to be updated. Going to be releasing software updates and all kinds of stuff. It's $79.99, which is right in line with these classic consoles. They cost GameStop, Walmart, Amazon, Costco. To my chagrin, Best Buy did not offer it. So I'm waiting on Amazon. So eventually I'll get it. I'll post a little snapshot. Or
first. Are you going to do an unboxing video?
Oh, I guess I could.
There you go.
Yeah. Why not?
There you go. Yeah.
So there you go. That's the Commodore 64 Mini. Looks like fun.
Looks good.
Woo. Well, did you guys hear that?
Sound like an alien.
UFO. Yeah, it did. Okay, it did. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going crazy.
No, it's someone just moved a chair on the floor above me. So it wasn't angry spirits or UFOs or anything like that.
Sure, Eric or Jason, sure.
I don't care about this next game. So
You should.
I said it. Yeah, that's right.
It's about you.
What is this? Who is Inferno?
It's like a big demon
Inferno,
guy.
Inferno, dude. Come on, buddy. How do you not know who Inferno is?
Yeah.
He sounds nice.
He's not.
He's okay.
Rude.
Yes. He would definitely move chairs. He would move chairs while you're recording.
So... Yeah, he's coming to Soul Calibur.
Yeah, he's. I guess he's the first. I don't actually remember Inferno, but I guess he was the first bad guy, like the first boss from the original Soul Calibur. So he's back.
It's pretty cool.
Cool.
He's just like a big ball of fire with armor.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool. And the Game Boy inspired Go Retro Portable is gonna. Coming out.
Yes.
I don't know. I saw this, pictures of this, and it looks to me kind of like it? No. Are you?
No, I won't get it either. it doesn't... it sounds like... I mean, I'm sure there's... Well, there are good games on it. Mega Man games. There's Burger Time, which I love. I love Burger Time. There's Strider, 1942, Tetris, Bad Dudes. All of these games are on there, plus a ton more, because there's 260 games total.
Whoa. Now,
yeah, but my question is, are they 260 actual games? Because I can't find this anywhere. Or is it like 40 classic games and then 220... made-up games that no one has ever seen before.
That's what I think it is. It's probably like these games they list, and then, yeah, that's exactly what I think it is.
Yeah, because if it was 260, like, NES and SNES games, I would be very excited and I'd probably get it. But I don't think that's what it is.
No, not at all. So.
I mean, they're making it sound like it. but I don't think that's what it is.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that's what it is.
Also, what's really interesting here is that there's no rechargeable battery pack. It runs off 4 AAA batteries. Yeah, which is weird. In this day and age. It has a micro USB cable, so you can plug it in and play.
Yeah.
But it won't charge anything. And the battery life is 10 hours, which is actually pretty good, but it's still weird. The price is pretty low. It's $35. So this isn't going to break the bank.
Nice.
Yeah, that's another reason I don't think these are 250 classic games.
260!
Right.
Of which they have announced 6.
Yeah, exactly. There's no way. And for $40? Uh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably correct. I can't see that.
So... very good. I think that is all of the video game news and such that we have today.
Should we talk more Black Ops?
No.
Yeah. I think we should.
But you know what we could do?
What?
Jason could tell us all about the comic rack in New York Comic Con.
About Black Ops?
Let me talk about Black Ops.
Yeah, let's talk about Black Ops real quick.
Because it looks great. Let's go into the comic rack a little bit, and we'll shuffle things around. Maybe we'll move some books where people can't find them. We'll stick new books behind old books. It'll be great. It's a lot of fun. Number one on the list, as I knock something over the desk. Number one, Fearscape from Vault Comics. Now I have never heard of Vault Comics, and I have never heard of Fearscape, but we got a press release for this, and I ran it because it's really cool looking. So Fearscape number one is getting a variant cover, I think for a reprint, which plays off of the classic DC Comics Vertigo Sandman number one cover. It pays homage to this book. They're not making any bones about it. They're not pretending that this is like a thing. They're saying that they're paying homage to this classic book. It looks really, really cool. It's a really well-done variant cover. Also, the book sounds kind of interesting. The Fearscape, which is supposed to be this alternate universe, is populated by manifestations of our worst fears. Once per generation, a character called the Muse travels to Earth, discovers our greatest storyteller, and takes them with her into the Fearscape to battle these fear creatures on our behalf. All has been well for eons until the Muse encounters Henry Henry, a plagiarist with delusions of literary grandeur. Mistaking him for our greatest storyteller, she ushers him into the Fearscape, and doom follows. So I guess he goes to this alternate universe and plays Doom. Which is interesting. It's interesting. But it sounds like a cool story. I'm sure going to have some humor in there since he's a plagiarist and he's got to fight these monsters. And the whole thing is creativity of the person that she takes with her. So this guy's got no creativity. So, I mean, that sounds like it should be interesting. The book is, I believe, out right now. Fearscape is out now, but the variant cover with that neat Sandman image is going to be up soon, so not right now. So watch for that one. But it's really cool looking. I might actually get this and read this because the description sounds really neat. Next up, we're going to talk about a little Guardians of the Galaxy news. So you may or may not know that in Marvel's currently running Infinity Wars crossover event, I think it's still running. I've lost track of it. But the Guardians of the Galaxy have been shattered. So the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of no longer exist as you know them. Gamora. I don't think this is a spoiler. If it is a spoiler, you can fast forward about, let's say, 15 seconds from this point right now. Gamora is a villain who has turned on everybody. And the team has been kind of like completely wrecked. So there's going to be a new Guardians of the Galaxy team. And this is not the Asgardians of the Galaxy, which is a dumb name, but actually sounds like a really cool team, but this is not that. This is an assemblage of Marvel's like cosmic themed characters who will be functioning as a team. It sounds like what they've done is basically that big promo image that we saw a couple of months ago. They picked and chose off of that, and they have assembled a squad of characters. I don't think there was any sort of fan input, so I'm kind of wondering why they even bothered with that big promo image. But anyway, the currently revealed characters are Darkhawk, which I'm actually really excited about because it means he's sticking around. Beta Ray Bill, Moondragon, Nova, this guy's name slips my mind for a second. Gladiator. and I am actually at a loss as to who this character is. There is a blue-skinned woman. Rick, do you know who this is?
No, I don't.
I have no idea who this is. And like, she's on this cover with like a bunch of other major characters. So I don't know who this is. Anyway, here she is. And Cosmic Ghost Rider, who is apparently now a part of regular Marvel canon, and it still boggles my mind how this is a character.
yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad I'm not alone in that. The Punisher, who has the Ghost Rider powers, is a carrier of the power Cosmic, thanks to Galactus, and is a thrall of Thanos. Yes. So,
who's that? What's her name?
That's Cosmic Ghost Rider.
Oh, Cosmic Ghost Rider. I thought
that's
you
Cosmic
found out.
Ghost Rider. No, I wish I did.
You know they revealed the whole cover on Friday, right?
Oh, did they? No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, where's that?
Who's the rest of them?
It's Groot's on there. Star Lord's on there again.
Okay.
Adam Warlock, and I'm missing one person.
Adam Warlock.
Let me see if I can find it.
You know, that's a massive team, though.
So that it says only of the 11 people they revealed, only 6 of them will be on the team.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm going to take a shot in the dark here and say Darkhawk will not be one of them.
So, yeah, probably, sadly.
Yeah. I really like Darkhawk. He was one of my favorite, like, of those crazy 90s characters. That's depressing.
I still think you're lying. It really is Sleepwalker.
Damn, it's not Sleepwalker. All right, so there you go.
You
had to kind of imagine Groot. Rocket Raccoon?
Can't find it. Whoa, these guys post a lot of tweets.
Maybe we, let me see, I don't know, maybe we got it. See if I can. It seems strange that we got it. This is live radio, folks, only it's not live. So let's see, we'll do it live. All right,
here it is. Wait, I think I found it. So it's Groot, Moondragon, Nova, Adam Warlock, Silver Surfer. Weird new Punisher, Ghost Rider, then Guardian, Star Lord, Death. Wait, do they reveal who this person is? Oh, they do. Oh, her name is Phyla Vell, so she's probably part of.
Yeah.
And Beta Ray Bill.
I'm gonna also guess that Cosmic Ghost Rider will be not only on the team but the focal point of the team. I'm gonna guess
he's definitely making it on the team. So is Groot, yeah. And so is Star-Lord, so there's three. And then I think Phyla Vell and maybe even Moondragon will be on there.
That's a good guess.
It leaves one person. I think I'm gonna go with Adam Warlock.
I'm gonna say Groot
because I think they're gonna introduce him in the next movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you think?
You're probably right. I think you're probably right on all of the above. I think definitely Phi Lavelle, Moondragon, Cosmic Ghost Rider. Star-Lord has to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
Groot. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It would be really cool if Guardian was on there. I mean, Gladiator.
Yeah.
It just seems like he gets completely forgotten about, and he's a really powerful character. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe they'll get rid of Groot. I don't know. I just feel like he's like a staple, but you never know.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. He's got to be there.
Well, I also read somewhere, too, that they're trying to, like, get all these other characters pumped up in case Guardians of the Galaxy 3 can't really happen.
Hmm. Yeah.
So they're trying to, like, get all these other characters popular.
It's interesting news with that, because that's been, like, indefinitely shelved.
Yeah.
There's no plan right now to go through with that.
And you guys saw that James Gunn is going to do Suicide 2?
Indeed, Suicide I did. Watching. I have mixed feelings about that. I think that is a great move by Warner Brothers to bring him in to write that and probably direct it. Suicide Squad has the same kind of feel as Guardians, just on a little bit, you know, lower scale. But I'm.
It'll be good.
Yeah. No, I think it will. I do have to say,
you know, he's going
to
use like all the C level characters too.
Yes. Yep. And they're going to become A level.
Yeah. Exactly.
I've heard rumors of people trying to get Batista to play Bane.
That would be good. I'd like that. I will say that I like that.
Yep. And Batista's all in because he loves James Gunn. Good.
So. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. I do have to add very quickly that. I don't try to normally get into any of this stuff, but I read a lot of the tweets that James Gunn has since deleted, and it was really horrible stuff. So I'm just going to leave it at that. And I don't like to talk about that stuff because it's supposed to be fun. We're supposed to be talking about fun stuff, but that's why I have mixed feelings about it. But on a business, and this makes great sense for WB, and just... That's it. I'm going to just leave it at that. So, getting back to more fun stuff. Ben Grimm is getting married. The Thing will be getting wed to Alicia Masters, who has been his girlfriend for like 70 years. This December's issue of Fantastic Four, and to celebrate this momentous occasion. We will have a line-wide villain theme for all of Marvel's books. So there will be variant covers featuring Fantastic Four villains. This will be a total of 22 books with a whole mess of Fantastic Four villains, including Namor. Yes, he was a villain. And I think he's going to be a villain again, too, from the sound of things.
Yeah, I think I heard that somewhere.
Yeah, it seems like he's like getting real nasty. So,
he'd be cool to introduce in the MCU as a villain.
Yes, he would. You are absolutely right. I think he'd be great. It would actually really differentiate him from Aquaman too. Especially if Aquaman is a hit. And from the sound of things, it seems like people are really excited about that movie at this point. So, if that is a hit, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
I know.
A little bit down the rabbit hole, but did you guys see the new Aquaman trailer?
I did.
I didn't think
I wanted to see that movie, but now I kind of do.
See? People are like really into this now.
Yeah. He looks pretty good. I think it looks like it's going to be okay.
And the classic costume, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, they did a good job with it.
Yep.
You should check it out, Eric. It looks, they made it look like it's going to be a pretty good movie.
Yep. Is pretty talented.
I'll take a look.
You should check it out. Because it's like after the trailer hit, there were tons of people online talking about how great it looked. So I think this is probably going to be a big movie. And if it is, then I think you're on the money Rick, I think that they should introduce Namor as a villain and go that route in the Marvel verse. That just makes sense. So anyway, these covers, you're going to have Molecule Man, you're going to have that weirdo mad scientist with his apes. You're going to have Terax, you're going to have Namor, which we mentioned before, Super Skrull, Dr. Doom, Gargoyle Man, all kinds of crazy Fantastic Four villains. So if you're into that, it seems like a really, really, really cool selection of like covers. I was going to say mini posters because they kind of look like mini. But covers, and it's good stuff. So if you're a big Marvel fan, maybe you want to pick up a few of these instead of the standard covers. Moving past that, that's December, by the way. Moving past that, we have a look at Mezco's Cable figure in the 112 collective. He was announced as ready for pre-order this week. So Cable is in this line, he's kind of an amalgam of previous takes on the character, but you know, he has all the staple stuff. So he'll have a selection of big guns, he'll have the armor, he's going to have his classic look with the scarred eye and the bionic eye. He's got the cybernetic arm, the whole thing. It looks really cool. He actually lights up. So the eye lights up and his chest, he's got like a chest plate that will also light up. I don't think the gun lights up, but they're showing in the ad, it looks like it does. But I don't think that's mentioned anywhere. What's interesting is that he has an extra head sculpt, which is included in the box. That's not unusual, but the alternate head sculpt lights up as well. So I don't know how they're managing that, because presumably the batteries go into the figure. So I guess there must be maybe light piping. I'm not sure. But anyway, it looks really cool. Since he lights up and he has the electronic function, he is going to cost a little bit more than the usual $80. So he is a $100 figure. But he looks really neat. If you're a big Cable fan, he's really cool. So he is shipping out next year. I believe, spring, next year. Yeah. May to June. So he's available for pre-order right now. I think he's still available. These Mezco figures, by the way, if you don't know, when they go up for pre-order, usually you have a couple of days, you have like a week or something like that, and the pre-orders kind of sell out. So you should go check that out if you are a fan. So that is the Cable figure. Also, keeping things in the 112 collective, I actually reviewed the Batman Beyond figure from the line, and I really love this figure. I am not a Batman Beyond fan. To a huge degree. Yeah, I'm not. When I was a kid and the show came on, well, I shouldn't say kid, I guess. But when the show came on, I was basically disappointed that it wasn't more Batman the Animated Series.
All right, you're good to go.
Okay, so we are back. We have a second of little technical difficulty there. But anyway, so we also reviewed the Batman Beyond figure from Mezco's 112 collective this week. And I was just saying that I was not a big Batman Beyond fan when the show came on because I wanted more Batman the Animated Series. So I didn't really even follow it that much. And I hear the show is good, you know, but again, I've barely seen any episodes. This is just a little background because even though I am not into this character that much, I love this figure. It is really cool. Mezco decided not to do a plain black suit, but instead put like little kind of techie bits onto it, and it looks really, really neat. You've got a beautiful bat symbol on the front, metallic red. Rick, was that a thing in the show? Was it like that big of a prominent element on the costume?
The what? The what part?
The bat logo.
Yeah, because like in the costume or in the show, it was like they didn't draw the techie stuff, so it's just like big black dude, big black Batman with the red symbol and the two red eyes. So,
because it definitely stands out here. It's really neat looking. There's also a little backpack that he has on that the wings, I guess, are supposed to come out of. In this, of course, they don't. There's no action feature, so it's It's like you'd kind of snap that pack off and you snap the wings on, but it looks really good. The underside of the wings are red, which also looks great. Flight poses, he looks so cool.
Yeah.
His Batarangs also, this is a very different design from the classic Batarangs, because the Batarang on here is basically round. And it has like red tips on the wings, also looks freaking great. Everything is a really nice metallic paint. If you're a Batman Beyond fan, I think this is kind of a, like, because I don't think there's too much Batman Beyond stuff out there, so this is kind of like, this is it. And it's good that it's it, because it's awesome. So if you're a Batman Beyond fan, I highly recommend this figure. If you are not, I would still recommend it, because it looks awesome. So I gave it a 95. It's got excellent posability, because it's got the thinner body type that Mezco has used for a couple of figures, which is really good. It's got some incredible detailing that I felt like adds to the character, because it, like you were saying, Rick, it's just a plain bodysuit in the cartoon, but this, they added like stuff to make you actually, you look at it and you say, okay, this is like a really high tech suit that he's wearing. It's almost like super thin Iron Man armor kind of a thing. You know, it's really cool. The accessories were the only thing that I dinged it on. And there was basically one reason, was because I thought that including a Terry McGinnis unmasked head would have been a great option. But yeah, they didn't. Cool. Yeah. And they didn't do that. So yeah. That's the only, you know, the heads are basically him frowning and then him grimacing. And then I would have liked that nice alternate option. I mean, you could have even had him holding, you know, the basic frowning head as though it was a helmet. If you wanted to pose him like that, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff you could have done, but oh well. Overall, a great figure though. So if you do have the chance, you should check this. Let's get into some NYCC news, because last week was New York Comic Con. Now, you may have noticed that there wasn't a hell of a lot of New York Comic Con coverage on BG, even though we normally do a lot of con coverage. And there was a reason for that, because there wasn't really that much shown that's new at New York Comic Con. I was a little bit disappointed. I was going to say I was really disappointed, but the show had some other stuff that was kind of fun. But it was not the New York Comic Con cavalcade of new stuff to talk about that I've found previous years to be. Nonetheless, there were a couple of things. The first thing we'll get into is DC announcing a new line of Batman cowls. These are 1/2, 1:2 ratio in terms of size. So they're not full size. You cannot try to squish your head into one and then have to have it surgically cut off. nonetheless, I think they're really good. Yeah, I'm sorry, Rick.
That's okay.
I know.
You live and you learn.
Yeah, well. So, one thing that they would be really cool for is sitting on a shelf, and they look great. There were two that were announced. There was a Rebirth cowl from the comics, and then there was a Arkham cowl from the line of video games. Both look great. I will say I didn't realize how odd the Arkham cowl looks.
Right?
It does look odd.
The ears are so big.
Oh my god, dude. Super big. Yeah. So they look weird next to the Rebirth cowl, but both of them look really neat. This is going to be a line too, so it's not like these are these two and then that's it. These will be coming out next year. The Rebirth cowl is the first one that's going to hit in May. It will cost $90. The Arkham Asylum Batman cowl is going to come out in July, so months later, and it is also going to cost $90. Both are available for pre-order right now from different outlets, so if you are interested, if you want to lock one up for yourself, you definitely can. They have some cool display too. So like they have like a really neat base that says what they're from. So it's cool. As far as Batman collectibles go, I think it's probably one of the best ideas they've had in recent years, which have been kind of, I don't know, like they've done a lot of statues and stuff, but not a lot of replicas. So this is neat. Next up, we're going to talk about, why don't we keep it on DC? Let's talk about the DC Essentials figures, because those got an expansion announced at Comic-Con. There's four new figures, which are going to be on the way. The first one, I think the most important one, has Wonder Woman and... these are not... for a second I was thinking these were two packs, but no, they are not. They're single carded. The whole gimmick behind Essentials is they release a hero and a villain from, you know, whatever property. So the Wonder Woman offerings is the current Rebirth version of Wonder Woman, which I think is one of the best versions. Her costume looks great. Has a nice mix between the movie aesthetic and the classic comic book aesthetic. So it looks really cool. Wonder Woman and Cheetah are the first two. And this is actually my favorite version of Cheetah. I think she looks great. I don't like the cat face version that they've been doing lately. I think it looks too much like Beast. This is much better. She does.
Oh, that's funny.
Also, while we're talking about Beast, can I just say I hate the current look Beast has? He looks like he's bald.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. He looks bald. I like the big, goofy mane of hair that he used to have. I don't like this. Yeah. Anyway. So the second two figures are also great. This is a great quartet. Supergirl in her current costume with the super high boots. She looks terrific. And Cyborg Superman, who I don't know if they're going to keep this because this is a first run kind of prototypey thing in the image. So I don't know if it's going to have this, but that silver paint job is stunning. And this is easily the best looking Cyborg Superman that I've seen released from any company. So these figures look terrific. I think they're in the 8-inch scale. They're going to be $26 a piece, which is the same as the current line of DC Essentials figures. This was the replacement for Icons, if anybody is kind of wondering. It's still kind of a new line. But whereas Icons was on the 6-inch scale, this is on, like, I believe it's a little over 7-inch, so I would probably call it the 8-inch scale. It's an interesting scale. I'm not a fan of, like, all these varying scales. I like 6-inch, 3¾-inch. That's kind of it. But it's a good line. So check it out if you're a DC fan. And let's see. We also have some IDW news from Comic-Con, including a big wrap-up on their events that they have coming up, because it's actually some really cool stuff, so it's worth talking about. Their Ninja Turtles book continues to be really good. I would recommend that if you're a Ninja Turtles fan. So there is a City at War storyline that's coming up, which involves like all the different factions in the Ninja Turtles universe. Basically the Foot Clan, the Utroms, which is the Krang type race. It's just cool stuff. Check that out. There is a big Star Trek crossover coming called the Q Conflict. And it meets the original series with The Next Generation, with Deep Space Nine and Voyager. So the crews of all these different shows will be meeting up in this one thing. And that's, of course, possible because of Q, who's basically a god. So that's going to be the second one. And then there's a big Sonic the Hedgehog second season. I guess they broke these things up into seasons. So the runs of the comic, I'm not really sure how that works, but season two is kicking off with Battle of Angel Island. So it's the aftermath of the Battle of Angel Island. I'm not following this book, so I'm not sure what I
did. That sounds ridiculous.
I don't know if it needs to be a book, to be honest.
The fallout of Battle of Angel Battle or Battle Island, whatever.
It's Sonic the Hedgehog, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. How much fallout can there really be? Lost all the rings.
Yeah, exactly. Sonic lost his rings. He's down to one.
Yeah. He's down on his luck.
He's got to get the Chaos Emeralds. That's probably the
story. Yeah.
So,
Angel, the Master Emerald is. That's where Knuckles guards it.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, there you go.
So, Dr. Eggman was going for the Master Emerald, and there was a big fight over it.
Oh.
Ooh.
I should have let you take this. You actually know about it.
Yeah. I love Sonic.
Did we lose one of the Sonic characters? Is that the aftermath? Is that what's going on?
Probably. I'm not following the book. I just know the lore.
It says from David Marriott, who is the editor of the book. He says, year two is going to be huge for Sonic. We are upping the stakes with more villains, more adventures. Well, I would guess that. And a new threat that'll loom over the whole 2019 calendar.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. There you go. A new threat. A new threat.
Could be Dr. Eggman.
Come on.
Just going out on a limb here.
Dr. Robotnik?
Maybe it's Dr. Eggman's brother, Dr. Eggman.
Okay. Could be. Could be.
Yeah.
Maybe Knuckles makes a heel turn.
Yeah.
Goes back to being a bad guy. Could be. So then there's a G.I. Joe miniseries coming up called Sierra Muerte as well, which is from an indie creator named Michael Fife. I am not familiar with his work, but he basically does everything, written, drawn, lettered, and colored by Fife. G.I. Joe Sierra Muerte will debut in spring 2019 as a gritty yet colorful account of Hasbro's iconic team's quintessential mission. So I'm not familiar with Sierra Muerte at all. I know Sierra Gordo, which I ran a standalone story on this a couple weeks ago. I mentioned that. So I don't know if they're just renaming it for some reason. But it is a classic mission. It's from the classic Marvel comics, which IDW does have the rights to. So I'm not entirely sure if there was something there though. Maybe they had to rename the book. They couldn't call it Sierra Gordo. Sierra Muerte is a thing, in the G.I. Joe universe. It's another country that borders Sierra Gordo. I am not entirely sure. So, but anyway, this is going to be a like an exploration of that mission. I think it's new content. And it's supposed to come out sometime next year. I'm actually excited about it because I like the classic Joe books a lot. So I'm excited to see what they do with it. Past that, we've got a bunch of other stuff coming from IDW. Including their continued Marvel Comics run in one of the weirdest setups in comic books. IDW publishes Marvel characters and will have a Black Panther series coming up called Marvel Action Black Panther. I just can't get my head around why this is even happening. So I don't get it. Yeah, I don't get it. IDW does these big art books, like reprints of classic stories. So they work with Marvel and DC on stuff like that. But I mean, that's totally different. These are like original stories. I don't get it.
Yeah.
There is a really interesting looking Christmas book. It is called Ghosts of Christmas, and it's horror, and it's kind of neat looking. It looks like it's like claymation kind of a thing, and it's really cool looking. So that is coming as well. It says it's an R-rated homage to Nightmare Before Christmas. So that's some interesting stuff right there. That might be the coolest thing that they talked about. So a couple other quick little things on NYCC while we're talking about it. Turok is returning to comics from Dynamite. That is Turok Dinosaur Hunter from the classic N64 games. There will be dinosaurs. There will be Native Americans and all that kind of action that you know from the game. But of course, it's going to be very different because there were a bunch of old comic characters adapted to games on the N64, and they were completely different from their actual comic versions. So it's going to be the same feel if you liked the Turok stuff. So you may want to take a look at that. Then there's Avengers number 700. Marvel has started to unveil the variant covers for it. We have a cover from David Finch, which actually looks really cool. It's a really nice splash of the team. So we'll see how many variants we end up getting off of that. We ran the X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, news of a variant cover not long ago, and in it I said I'm sure there's going to be a million variants, and guess what? So we have like I think at this point there's 13 that they've announced. So we actually have a wrap up of that, so you can find that on the website. And then I think that's just about it. Yeah, because pretty much all the other stuff we ran about NYCC was panels and signing schedules and stuff like that. So that's pretty much it. I will mention that the StarCraft universe is expanding at Dark Horse. I think that falls under the NYC banner. So there's a second series coming out of that, and you're into StarCraft. Check that out. And I'm going to say that's it for the comic rack this week. A lot of stuff to talk about. We made it through.
Very cool. We did it. So, good stuff. So, Rick had a really good question on the discussion points this week. With the success of Venom and the Joker movie on the horizon, it appears that comic book movies are approaching a new era. Which villain do you want to see get their own big screen debut? Rick, this is your question. What do you think?
So I have two. I'd like to see a Wario, Waluigi, buddy comedy book or movie, or a Darth Vader standalone movie.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. What about you guys?
I guess I'll take it away. I'm a little disappointed that there isn't going to be a Deathstroke movie, because I was actually looking forward to that. Yeah. I know he's not a straight villain anymore, more of an anti-hero, but I was actually really looking forward to that. So, and I think that's been canned completely. I was also looking forward to the Black Adam movie. I don't know what the hell is going on with that. what I would like to see... I'm going to say Doom, Dr. Doom. I would like to see a standalone Dr. Doom. Right? I think there's so much to his character and his origin and the whole thing. And I wouldn't even cast the Fantastic Four as the villains. I would just have them as kind of like a background, footnote kind of a thing. Yeah, and I would love to see that. I would love to see a Dr. Doom. The other thing, I'm just going to say, I'm just sitting here thinking about it. I would love to see also a Cobra movie focusing on Cobra, not G.I. Joe. I know that we had a movie called The Rise of Cobra already, but it wasn't really about the Rise of Cobra. So I wouldn't mind seeing the origins of Cobra if they were going to get back into movies for G.I. Joe and have like a G.I. Joe kind of cinematic universe. I would totally be down for that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, those are my picks.
Dig it. What about you, Eric?
I don't know. I got a tough one for this. I guess I could say Gorilla Grodd, but I don't think people know him.
I'm so surprised.
I don't know. It would be cool, but then again, we haven't even had a mainstream Flash movie, so I don't. Yeah. That wouldn't work.
Yeah, and I heard Flashpoint got canned.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Really?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've got no idea. This one. It would be cool to see. Hey, man, I don't even know. That's my answer. I don't really know. I like Gorilla Grodd, the movie.
All right, Gorilla Grodd, the movie.
Yep, I'll take it.
Gorilla Grodd, the movie.
Call it Grodd.
Yeah.
I can see that.
It would go well.
Yeah, make it an animated movie, actually.
Get Andy Serkis. Oh, never mind. It's an animated.
Just make it an animated movie and don't have any human characters in it, or like just a couple of human characters, and do all Gorilla City stuff.
That'd be really cool.
I could totally see that.
Cool. So, I guess that's about it. What are you guys playing?
I am playing Assassin's Creed Origins, which I am on the second... Whoa! It sounded like something fell down. I am on this... Okay. I am on the second rung. I am still trying to grind the crap out of Assassin's Creed World in order to get up to the level where I could take on the crocodile.
The crocodile.
So I am up to that, and I am playing WWE 2K19, which is actually really fun. I haven't played a new wrestling game in a long time that I invested any kind of effort into, and I am into this one. It's great. It's pretty difficult to control, so you have to really get the hang of it. I'm liking it, and I love the create a player download feature, so you don't have to actually build your own wrestlers. You can just download them that other people make, which is a really cool thing. Yeah, it's really cool. I downloaded Scott Steiner that was actually pretty good.
That's cool.
And once you download them, you can change them. So if you download a character, it's awesome. So if you download a character that somebody else made and you don't like certain things about the character, you think they got it wrong, you could just load them into the editor and you can fix it.
That's way cool.
It's great. And of course, it's all free because it's just player creations.
Yeah.
That's what I'm playing. Oh, and I played Broforce on the Switch and it was great.
Broforce. Awesome.
It was great. I love it. I love getting back into that game.
Very cool. Rick, you still playing Odyssey?
Yep, just playing some Odyssey.
That's good. Yeah, I know we talked about that a little bit earlier. Yeah. I'm trying to power through the Kingdom Hearts series. I'm almost done. I'm almost caught up. And once I've done that, I'm going back to Origins. And I'm playing Luigi's Mansion on the 3DS.
Ah! Luigi's Mansion. I knew you'd go for that.
Yeah. Was there ever a doubt?
Not really. Resident Luigi.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Thanks for hanging with us, everybody. And I think we're going to try to be back now. We're not going to take any more long hiatuses.
Nice.
Cool. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Adios.